Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Lord of the Rings AMA podcast. My name is Matthias Austin, and I'm here to answer your questions about the works of J.R.R. Tolkien. The concept of this show is pretty simple. If you've got questions about the world of Middle-earth, maybe you've read the books but not in a while, maybe you've seen the movies and there's some stuff you just didn't understand or you want more in-depth information on, you can shoot me an email at lotramapod@gmail.com, and I will do my best to answer your question as completely and fully as possible. And this week's question once again comes from my good friend Peter. He was going to be my original co-host for this show before scheduling kind of got wonky and we weren't able to make that happen, and I decided to do this solo. But we had recorded one initial episode, which turned into last week's episode, and we had plans for a second episode, and this is the question from that second week's show. So, the question from Peter is, why does Denethor hate Faramir so much? Now, if you've seen the Lord of the Rings movies, and you know who we're talking about, Denethor eats tomatoes in a really gross way and hates his son. Those are kind of the main things we know about him. Maybe you've seen the memes. If your timeline is the same as mine, you might have something like, you know, Faramir saying, "Dad, I just started reading Lord of the Rings." And then Denethor saying, "Boromir would have started the Silmarillion." Right? That's the dynamic most people, especially if you just know the movies, know, is that Denethor hates his son Faramir, loves his son Boromir, and Peter wants to know, why is that the case? So I'm going to answer that as completely as possible. I'm going to, like I did last week, I'm going to start with a very quick, this is the answer, and then I'm going to give the real in-depth response. So why does Denethor hate Faramir so much? Well, in the books, he doesn't as much as in the movies, and the reason is mainly that he's really, really stressed out. That's the very basic top-line answer, but let's dive into exactly why Denethor's stress has turned into hating Faramir, and especially in the movies, why that's the case. So, looking at the person of Denethor, if you want to know somebody's motives, right, why they're doing a thing, you kind of need to look at who they are and where they came from. So let me start by giving you some background about Denethor as a person. I'm going to give you a bunch of dates here that don't match any kind of calendar that you know of, if you're not steeped in having read like the appendices in the Lord of the Rings books. But I'm going to give you the dates just so it helps me track things, it helps you track things, if you want to. Or else just let those numbers just wash over you and we'll just keep going with it. This is who Denethor is. Denethor, he was born in the year 2930 of the Third Age. And he was the son of Ecthelion II. Jumping ahead a little bit, in 2953, when Denethor was 23 years old, his father Ecthelion became the steward of Gondor when Ecthelion's father died. And in that exact same year, Sauron, who had fled from Mirkwood after the events of The Hobbit and what the White Council was doing in Mirkwood during The Hobbit, he came back to Mordor and he began rebuilding his tower, Barad-dûr. And in the year that Ecthelion's reign started, Barad-dûr was completed. And from this moment on, there was constant war happening on Gondor's borders. His father's entire reign as steward, it began with Sauron declaring himself an all-out war happening on the borders of Gondor. Now, jumping ahead a little bit more, sometime before the year 2980, so the course of the next 27 years, that's the math, yes, 27 years, a guy shows up. His name is Thorongil. Thorongil is actually Aragorn in disguise. Aragorn has sort of gone on this quest to check out the kingdoms of Rohan and Gondor in disguise, and he shows up and he offers his services to Ecthelion, Denethor's dad, to help him out in his war effort. He's been recommended by King Theoden's father, who's the king of Rohan, who'd helped out the Rohirrim during their wars, and immediately Thorongil, who is Aragorn, starts to have a huge impact on the war effort. He's leading armies, he's winning battles, and Denethor, as the heir, is getting jealous because the people of Gondor love Thorongil, because all of a sudden this mysterious war hero shows up, and these wars that have been just dragging on, that have been consuming everybody in Gondor, all of a sudden, we've got somebody on our side who's like really good at warfare, and he's helping us fight. And people are going, "Oh gosh, he's pretty great. He might be better than like it'd be great if this dude could stick around." And Denethor starts to get very, very jealous of the attention that Thorongil, Aragorn, is receiving. Now, here's the other thing that happens at this time. Thorongil says to Ecthelion, "Hey, Mithrandir," who is Gandalf. Everybody's got multiple names in Lord of the Rings. Thorongil says, "Mithrandir, Gandalf, is somebody who you definitely should trust. Let him into your council. He's great. You gotta trust him." Denethor does not like this meddling. He doesn't like outside people coming in, and he is just really distrustful of what Gandalf's motives are. He doesn't like the attention that Thorongil's getting, and he's starting to see Gandalf as somebody who wants to take away the rule of the stewards. The stewards are the people in charge of Gondor. They're not the king. The steward is not the king, but he is somebody who is a noble who his family has been running the House of the Stewards ever since the last king of Gondor died. And he begins to suspect Gandalf is going to try to take away the role of the stewards and give it to the rumored lost king, lost heir of Isildur. And he's also starting to suspect, hey, wait a minute, Thorongil, this guy might be that heir. He might be the heir of Isildur coming down from the north. And he does not trust that at all. Now, why does he not want Aragorn there? Why does he not trust the heir of Isildur? Why does he not want to hand over the role of the steward to the heir of Isildur? Because that is theoretically what the steward is supposed to do. They're just supposed to hold the position until such a time as the king returns. Well, here's some backstory. Here's some history, a little bit of history for you about the stewards and the king of Gondor. At the very founding of Gondor, Elendil was the high king of Arnor and Gondor. Arnor is in the north, Gondor is in the south. He mainly ruled up in Arnor, and his two sons, Isildur and Anarion, co-ruled Gondor. After Elendil died during the Battle of the Last Alliance, when Sauron was overthrown and the ring was cut off his finger, Elendil died in that battle. Isildur went to rule Arnor, and he left Gondor to the son of his brother, so Anarion also died, and he left Gondor to his nephew, Melendil. Melendil was the son of Anarion, who also died, and the kings of Gondor descended from the line of Anarion through Melendil, whereas the kingdom of Arnor spread through Isildur. And in the northern kingdom of Arnor, it was chaotic. Their history, it's a long, fraught history, but at a certain point, it got so divisive up there that the kingdom of Arnor got split into three separate kingdoms. Arthedain, which was the main kingdom, Cardolan, and Rudar. You don't really need to know that, but I have that information in my brain, so I have to say it, right? So those kingdoms fought against themselves, and then eventually the Witch King of Angmar, who is the Lord of the Nazgul, he's the Black Rider with the crown that gets stabbed by Eowyn on Pelennor Fields, right? That guy, he sets up the Kingdom of Angmar, and he starts to take over these different sort of mini-kingdoms that came about from the dissolution of the Kingdom of Arnor. Eventually, there's only one kingdom left. It is Arthedain, and all the other kingdoms were defeated by the Witch King, and then the last king of Arthedain is Arvedui, is maybe how you pronounce it? That's how it's spelled, Arvedui. Arvedui is the last king of Arthedain, the last king descended from Isildur. He had married, again, just a bunch of names, feel free to ignore these if you want to, he had married Firiel, who is the eldest daughter of Andoher, who was the king in Gondor. So, like, very distantly at that point. I mean, thousands of years have passed since Gondor and Arnor split after the Battle of the Last Alliance. So he marries Firiel, daughter of the king of Gondor. Well, Andoher, king of Gondor, and his sons die. There's, I think that one is either they die, I think that one's a plague, a plague comes through, I think. I could be wrong. A plague comes through, kills off all the men of the royal family in the direct line of the royal family. And the last king of Arthedain, Arvedui, he says, hey, hold on, I should come in and be king now, right? For a couple of reasons. First, he says, I'm the direct descendant of Isildur. And Isildur, you know, he was at one point one of the rulers of Gondor when Elendil was alive. And he, you know, technically, he didn't really give up his royal title. He just went to the north to rule, and then he died up there. So that's his first thing of like, well, I'm still related to Elendil, who is, you know, the guy who founded all of this stuff. So I should still be in line for the throne. And also, he said, I married the daughter of the king, and by ancient Numenorean law, so the laws of the people who were where Elendil came from, he was Numenorean. They had a law that said if all of the sons die, the eldest daughter becomes the queen. The Gondorians did not have that law, but he says the first law, Numenorean law, says that she should be queen, and since she's going to be queen, I'll be king, right? This is what we should do. Well, Arvedui's claim was rejected because there was the steward, Palendur. Everybody's got Dur names, Gondor, Palendur, Andaher. Tolkien has reasons for why they all have these names. I'm not going to get into the etymology of everything. So Palendur, the steward, says, hold on, he gets a council of Gondorian nobles. And they go, do we want this guy from the north? He's not Gondorian. Maybe his great grandfather was the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of our king who just died, but that's so distant in the past, he doesn't really have a claim to this, and we don't follow the Numenorean tradition of having the eldest female take over the crown. So what if instead we go with a distant relative of Andaher, Earnil, E-A-R-N-I-L, looks like Earnil, but I think it would be pronounced Earnil. Distant relative of Andaher. And he was a victorious general. And most importantly to them, he descended from Anarion, Isildur's brother, not from Isildur. So they say, no, thank you, King Arvedui. You're not going to become the king of Gondor. We're good. We got our own guy. Arvedui, he dies. His kingship, the kingdom itself is destroyed. And his descendants become the Rangers, the Dunedain. And they just sort of live in the wild. And these are the people that Aragorn is descended from. Aragorn is a direct descendant of Arvedui, but he's not a king in the north because there is no king in the north after Arvedui dies. Jumping back to Gondor. Earnur, again, all these names, very similar. He was the last king of Gondor. After Earnil, Earnur came in. He was the last king of Gondor. He went to challenge the Witch King of Angmar in single combat. He got abducted, and he was just never seen again. There was no proof that he died, and so, obviously, time eventually proved that he died. But because there was no body, he just kind of vanished and got taken into captivity. They said, well, we can't really give up the kingship to anybody else. So the stewards just said, well, we'll take over ruling. We will steward this. We will take over until the king comes back. And then the king never came back. And so by the time this all happens, there are no more kings in Arnor. There are chieftains living the wild. They're rangers. And so people said, should we try to look for, like, Isildur's heirs? And they said, well, no, they're not kings anymore. They're wild men. They live in the woods. They're beneath the dignity of the kingship of Gondor. And so they just don't ever seek out any of the Dunedain in the north. So eventually we get down to Aragorn. And he's the heir of Isildur, and he shows up as Thorongil. Later he comes back as Aragorn. And he is very interested in the books, at least. In the movies, he's more of that reluctant king. The books, he's very much like, no, I'm Isildur's heir, I'm going to be king of Gondor. Why is he claiming the throne at this moment? Why is he coming into Gondor saying, I'm here to take my royal place? Well, the main reason is that he wants to marry Arwen. Elrond has this whole thing where he says, Aragorn, I get it, you love my daughter loves you. But But you're just a human, and she's an elf. And if she marries you, she's giving up her immortality to be with you. And if you want me to consent to that, at the very least, I need you to become royalty again. And not just of Arnor, but of both Arnor and Gondor, like Elendil was thousands of years ago. So in order to marry the woman he wants to marry, Aragorn has to become the king of Arnor and Gondor. So that's why he's showing up again as Thorongil, just checking things out. He's also a good guy and doesn't want Sauron to win, right? From a medieval outlook, which Tolkien was writing from a medieval perspective, obviously you have to have a king stand against Sauron, because kings are the best. They're the highest up. You can't have it just be a random sort of outlander showing up to fight him. He's got to be somebody noble. And so that's sort of the textual reason why, from a world viewpoint, well, he's got to be there. And then, obviously, within the story, there's Aragorn coming to Gondor provides the distraction needed for Frodo to get to Mount Doom, because Sauron says, oh no, a descendant of Isildur, the guy who cut off my finger and took the ring in the first place, he's on the throne in Gondor again. So I need to do what I can to stop him. And that timing distracts Sauron from Frodo getting to Mount Doom. So that's why Aragorn is showing up when he does. But Denethor doesn't know all of this, but he doesn't trust Thorongil, and he definitely doesn't trust Gandalf, because he says Gandalf's always messing with those people up north. He might be trying to bring Isildur's heir back to the throne. And the Steward Line, remember, historically, they don't think that the Dúnedain, the Rangers of the North, are worthy of the kingship. They're not noble enough. So jumping back to Denethor's timeline here. He marries his wife, Finduilas. He marries this lady in 2976. In 2978, Boromir is born. In 2983, Faramir is born. Ecthelion II, Denethor's father, dies in 2984. And Denethor takes on the role of the steward. At this point, Boromir is 6, Faramir is 1. So why does he like Boromir better than Faramir? Well, he spent more time with him before he got really busy with being the steward. That's not an excuse, but that kind of makes sense, right? He got to be part of Boromir's growing up. I mean, in our modern terms, he was taking Boromir to his t-ball games when he all of a sudden got really busy running a country that was constantly at war, and Faramir was still learning to walk, right? From that sense, it's like, why does he like Boromir better? Well, he knew him more and had time to like invest in his childhood more. That's part of it. The other thing that happens right around then, his wife, Finduilas, she dies in 2988. At this point, Boromir is 10, Faramir is 5. In a medieval sort of society, 10 years old, Boromir's kind of like going to be starting his, you know, page training to become a knight. He's of an age where responsibilities are starting to be placed on them in, you know, medieval times. He's 5. He's in kindergarten. And now his wife is dead, and he's running this country that's constantly at war. He goes into a deep depression because he loved his wife dearly. And he starts at that time going to look in the Palantir that is in Minas Tirith. If you remember from the movies or from the books, the Palantir, very basically, little glowing orb that you can use, and it kind of works as like a long-distance reconnaissance and communication device. You can talk to somebody else who has a Palantir, and you can use it to see different things. Here's the problem. Denethor, very wise, very powerful. He thinks, I can master this Palantir. But Sauron also has a Palantir. In the movie, Sauron's just like a big floating eye, right? In the books, it's kind of implied he has a body. He's in corporeal form. He's not just a glowing eye. And he's got his own Palantir in Barad-dûr. And he is more powerful than Denethor. And so Sauron can manipulate Denethor when Denethor's looking in the Palantir. So he can show him what he wants Denethor to see. Jumping ahead a little bit, like he in the war that happens in Lord of the Rings, he shows, oh, the ships of Corsairs coming up from Umbar, right? to show there's an army coming and you don't have people to block it. Because he doesn't show, you know, he shows the corsairs sailing up the thing, but he doesn't show Rohan is coming to assist, right? He shows, oh, Aragorn and Gandalf are on the move. He's showing enemies on all sides, and he's showing no allies. So he's starting to be manipulated. He's starting to get paranoid. He's deeply depressed. Mental health care was not a thing in Middle Earth or medieval times. He could have benefited from therapy, I'll say it. And he had one son that he kind of had time to bond with, one son he kind of didn't. Now let's look at the personalities of Boromir versus Faramir. Boromir was a warrior. Very clear in the movies. He's got his sword, he's got his shield, he's got the horn. He is a warrior. And he leads the armies of Gondor. And he's needed to lead troops in a time of constant war. And he only has one goal in the entire book. It gets a little muddled, I think, in the movies, because they kind of need to make him a little bit of an antagonist in Fellowship of the Ring. But in the book, it's very clear. He wants to save his city. He wants to save Minas Tirith, which if you save Minas Tirith, you're saving Gondor. The same thing that Denethor has been desperately trying to do his entire reign. The same thing his father was trying to do his entire reign. Here's a couple of quotes that show that. So when Boromir is trying to take the ring from Frodo, this is what he says to Frodo. He says, "The ring would give me power of command, how I would drive the hosts of Mordor, and all men would flock to my banner." He wants to use the ring to fight the forces of Mordor because they are threatening Gondor. And then the last words he has in the book, not in the movies they go a little more poetic, but in the book, his last words are, "Farewell, Aragorn. Go to Minas Tirith and save my people. I have failed." So from the beginning to the end, Boromir is just focused on saving Gondor, the same thing that Denethor is trying to do. Boromir's that perfect self-sacrifice patriot for his country that Denethor thinks that he needs in order to win this war. Compare that to Faramir. Faramir was a scholar. He knew how to fight, but he was not a warrior the way that Boromir was. He was a scholar. In fact, when Gandalf was in Minas Tirith, we get little flashes of this in the movies, when he going after he tells Frodo, keep it secret, keep it safe, goes down to Minas Tirith and he's like researching about the ring, right? Well, during that time, Faramir is there as a kid. The time frame is harder to see in the movies and the books. There's like a 50-year gap, 30-year gap. Hold on. 17-year gap. Frodo's 33. When he gets the ring, he's 50 when he leaves. There's a 17-year gap. And during that time, Faramir's a kid in Minas Tirith, and he hangs out with Gandalf while Gandalf is doing all of his research. Denethor is not happy about this, because Denethor already didn't trust Gandalf, and now he sees one of his youngest son like doting on Gandalf and listening to everything he's saying. And Faramir, we'll compare some quotes from Faramir to those of Boromir, right? These are some quotes of Faramir, mainly in here just because they're some of the best quotes in the entire book series. Boromir, he said, "The one thing I want to save Minas Tirith, to drive away the enemies." This is what Faramir says. "For myself, I would see the white tree in flower again in the court of the kings, and the silver crown return, and Minas Tirith in peace. Minas Anor again as of old, full of light, high and fair, beautiful as a queen among other queens, not a mistress of many slaves, nay, not even a kind mistress of willing slaves. War must be while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend, the city of the men of Numenor, and I would have her loved for her memory, her ancientry, her beauty, and her present wisdom, not feared, save as men may fear the dignity of a man, old and wise." He doesn't want power. He doesn't even want the steward line to go on. He says, "It would be better if there was a king. That's what I want." The opposite of everything Denethor has been working for and all of Denethor's ancestors have been working for. Additionally, Boromir tries to take the ring from Frodo to use for his own purposes, right? This is what in the book, not the movie, but in the book, Faramir says about the ring to Frodo. He says, "But fear no more. I would not take this thing if it lay by the highway. Not were Minas Tirith falling in ruin and I alone could save her. So using the weapon of the Dark Lord for her good and my glory, no. I do not wish for such triumphs, Frodo, son of Drogo." He says, it's not worth it to use the ring, even if it saves Minas Tirith. opposite of Boromir, opposite of Denethor. Everything Denethor and his father have been trying to do was keep Gondor safe and strong and defeat Sauron. Faramir says, I'm not willing to do anything it takes. There are limits. So, trying to uphold his family's honor, Denethor does not like Aragorn and Gandalf. Doesn't like a king coming in, doesn't like this meddling wizard who wants to bring a king in. He wants to hold up the line of the stewards, the people who have been leading Gondor for years and years and years. And Faramir, he likes Gandalf, so that's another strike against him. Faramir doesn't care about the steward line going on. So that's why he doesn't like Faramir. He doesn't see a good outcome for himself no matter what, because again, Sauron is manipulating his brain every time he uses the Palantir. He's showing him what he wants him to see. So in Denethor's mind, either one, Sauron wins and Gondor is destroyed, or two, Aragorn and Gandalf win and his family gives up the stewardship to those that he believes is inferior. This disgraced line of kings that have gone off into the wilderness. So that's why he doesn't like Faramir. Mainly because Faramir is not aligning with his view of how Gondor should be run. And that's why he prefers Boromir, the warrior, who's willing to do what it takes. Now I will also add this. The movies make Denethor much more of a villain than the books. In the movies, it's like, man, that guy just hates his son. Just absolutely despises him. There's the scene in the movie, right, where they're in the hall and Faramir says, in reference to Boromir, you wish that our places were switched. And Denethor responds, yes, I wish that. And in the context of the movie, what that looks like he's saying is, do you wish I was dead instead of Boromir? And he says, yeah, I wish that Boromir was alive and you were dead. In the book, that scene goes differently. In the book, he says, do you wish our places were switched? Denethor's response is this. Yes, I wish that indeed. For Boromir was loyal to me and no wizard's pupil. He would have remembered his father's need and would not have squandered what fortune gave. He would have brought me a mighty gift. This happens during a council of war. It's not the two of them alone in this hall. They're planning war, and a key defensive position has fallen. And he's saying, I wish I had somebody who was here who could, like, help out with the fight. Because at this point he's learned that he could have had the ring and he let it go, versus Boromir, who tried to take the ring even though it ended up costing him his life. He's not saying, I wish you were dead. He's saying, I wish that you had the tactical mind that Boromir has. Another thing that shows, because in the books, or in the movies, Denethor is a terrible leader. Just awful. In the movies, Gandalf says, you need to request aid from Rohan. And he goes, I will not request aid. Rohan, I don't want to, we're not going to help them. They're not going to help us. We're not doing it. And then Pippin has to go off on his sneaky mission to, like, secretly light the beacons to get the whole, you know, soaring music going, and Aragorn can run in. Beacons are lit. Denethor didn't want any part of that plan in the movies. In the book, Gandalf shows up, and as Gandalf is coming into Gondor, the beacons are already lit. Denethor has already sent out a request for help. The big difference is that the answer that there's like a, I think it's a red arrow that's like a symbol of like Gondor's calling for aid. These messengers get there to Theoden. They say, we have this red arrow. Gondor needs aid. Theoden's like, great, we're going to send some people. Messengers start heading back. They get killed along the way. Denethor thinks that nobody's coming because the messengers never return. But he sent out the message. He did what a good leader should do, called in his allies. Versus the movies, they're just like, no, we're not going to get any help from anybody else. And movies, it very much is implied, Denethor, when he's eating his tomatoes, he's like, I'm sending my son to die because I hate him, right? That's sort of the vibe as he grossly eats his tomatoes and Pippin sings the gorgeous song. Well, that whole decision, like I said, it happened during a war council. Osgiliath is a heavily defensive place. They didn't want to abandon it. Maybe if they kept Osgiliath, it would buy time for the allies of Rohan to come down because he sent the message out. So that's why he sends him out, but he doesn't send him to die. He sends him because he's like, I need to do something to maybe buy time so our allies can get here so we don't get wiped out. So is Denethor a bad dad? Yeah, in both of them. He's not a good dad. Don't pick favorites like that. And don't even imply to your kid it would be better if you were dead and your other kid was alive, right? But he wasn't just doing it because he was a bad person. He put in his mind the needs of Gondor, the thousands of years of history of Gondor that was his sole responsibility, ahead of his own children. Bad dad, questionable whether he's a good leader or not, he did his best, stressed out of his mind, and literally being manipulated by the embodiment of evil. So yeah, he's a bad dad, but he's not as big of a villain as the movies make him. So why is he so bad in the movies? Well, this is, again, if you listened last week, you know sometimes I just kind of go off on my own theories. This is my sort of meta theory. This is my filmmaking theory about this. Villains in movies work best when they're personal. Sauron is a fantastic, he's evil incarnate. He's a terrible personal villain, though, because in the movies he doesn't even have a body. He never comes out. He doesn't fight. He's just this sort of eye floating up there. And you don't get to have any good antagonist scenes with him because he's not really a character. The movies, though, they need you to have somebody you're rooting against and somebody you're rooting for, and you need to have those moments of conflict. They added the character of Lurtz, which was the big orc guy in the Fellowship of the Ring that Aragorn got to behead, right? Lurtz and Saruman are like the bad guys of the first movie. The bad guy, the personal one that we get to see inside, see all of his evil machinations, Saruman again in The Two Towers. We get to Return of the King, and it's like, well, who are our bad guys? We've got Sauron, who's very impersonal and far off. The Witch King, yeah, but we know that he's got to die from Eowyn, and he's not really going to have an opportunity to interact with any of our good guys. So that's not going to... The random orc that canonically, famously, the leader of the orcs, that really ugly one, was modeled off of... Harvey Weinstein, true story, look it up. That's not a good personal bad guy either. So they needed to do something to have this point of conflict for Gandalf to push against, and for, you know, for these moments here of having the antagonist try to get in the way of the protagonist's plans. And so Peter Jackson made the decision, we're going to bump up the evil factor of Denethor to make him fit that antagonistic role. So in the movies, there's just less room for nuance with Denethor's character than you get in the book. So, Peter, to answer your question, why does he hate Faramir? Because he doesn't in the books. He doesn't hate him. He just doesn't prioritize him. And he does it because he's really, really stressed out and trying to keep a country together that has been his family's responsibility for hundreds and hundreds of years. Doesn't justify it, but that's his reasoning. So I hope that is a good answer for you on why Denethor hates Faramir. Maybe people's opinion come around a little bit on Denethor. I'm not saying he's a good guy. I just don't know he's necessarily as evil as the movies make him out to be. And you can tell that he doesn't fully hate Faramir, because when he thinks that Faramir's dead, he has a full psychotic break and, you know, goes to burn himself and what he thinks is Faramir's dead body alive. If he wouldn't do that if he didn't care about Faramir. It's unhealthy. Don't do that. Don't set yourself on fire. But yes, I don't think that you can say that he fully hates Faramir the way the movies make it seem like it when you look at the book. So I hope that answered your question. This has been another episode of the Lord of the Rings AMA podcast. And remember, if you have questions that you would like me to answer as in-depth as this and throw a bunch of names and dates at you that you can barely keep track of, I know I have a hard time keeping track of them, you can send in that email with your question to LOTRAMAPOD at gmail.com, and I will be happy to answer your questions. Hopefully, by the time our third episode comes out, you guys will be seeing some nice cover art from a very talented artist that I've been talking to, Lauren in Minnesota. She's great. Hopefully, that'll be up by the time our third episode comes out. And if you've got leads, or if you compose music, you would like to get paid a little bit to come up with a theme to track for this podcast, that would be great. Still don't have a good sign off. hoping it's something that we can come up with naturally. I tried to look up like the Elvish for Ask Me Anything and go really nerdy with it, but it wasn't very interesting. So I'll just say this has been another episode of the Lord of the Rings AMA podcast. See you next week.